Tonight, Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Alturas COO's Dylan Mishkowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, and he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. That's when he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter, said he was impressed by how quickly he had the great candidates applying. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones, and that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Rick Devins. Yeah, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are here on episode number 7 recap from Survivor Island of the Idols. And we are very excited to have a true know-it-all here with us to talk about everything that's going on. Man who knows a thing or two about idols. Here he is, the great Rick Devins. Rick, how are you?
I appreciate the edit you made to that song. It was lovely.
Clearly,
you put a lot of time and work into that.
On the fly.
Glad to be here. I just finished my blog for People.
Yeah. You got People that magazine. Gig too?
Yep. I'm filling in everything for Steven. Hanging out with JT this weekend. Yeah. New best friend.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Rick, thank you for joining us. We have cats walking by. This is fantastic. This is already what an improvement.
Being a camera hog runs in the family, even with the pets.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're here with Rick Devins. What a thrill to be here with a true broadcast professional for once.
Yeah. That's why we're starting on time. You know, deadlines. Deadlines. These writers always pushing back the deadline, but TV news.
Yeah. All right. So, of course, yeah, Stephen is going to be on vacation, a well-earned vacation for Stephen Fishback. That this might be he just retired after 10 years of writing the People blog. So he might be going off into the sunset after writing the blog. Job well done by Stephen. He'll be back with us in a couple of weeks, but we'll have some replacement know-it-alls hosts for the next few weeks. So should be a wild ride this month. And Rick, thank you for joining us tonight. How have you been?
I've been really good. I'm excited to be here. And in all seriousness, I'm really going to miss Steven's blog for People. Like, it's fun to joke about, but he will be missed. He's put in some good work for all of us Survivor faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there will be that, I wanted to make a joke about, I'm sure the weather and the producers appreciate all the fishies that they've gotten over the years, but it's been an institution for Stephen Fishback. That it's amazing the amount of fishies, the amount of work that he put in. So kudos to Stephen on a job well
done. I question his fishy judgment. I'm not going to lie. I mean, some very fishies over the years, especially season 38, but,
Okay. Well, luckily he'll still give out the fishies here on the Know-It-Alls when he's back. You'll have to give out one tonight, Rick. You'll have to give out. What are we calling the Rick Devins Award?
The Ricky.
The Ricky. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be tough to hand out a rookie tonight, because I think that there was a lot of questionable calls made all across the game tonight. So we'll talk about that here live on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And we're going to take your questions, hashtag RHAP, get those in. Scott St. Pierre is standing by to get your questions into the show. But Rick, we've got a ton of great podcasts coming up this week. I'm really excited to talk to, you know, a very good friend from over the years. Chaos Cass is going to join us and talk to her on Thursday. Looking forward to that one.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I will be tuning in to hear what Cass has to say about this episode in particular.
Yeah, and I'm also very excited. Somebody who played with Chaos Cass and Stephen Fishback in Survivor Second Chances, Sierra Easton, is going to join us on the Feedback Show this week. And I'm very excited. I've never done a one-on-one podcast with her. And so she has not done a ton of Survivor interviews over these last couple of years. So I'm looking forward to catching up with her as well.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
More Sierra in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good week.
Great week. Okay. And so, of course, then we'll get into the wand off and the wiggle room with Josh Wiggler coming up on Monday. So lots of great stuff coming up. Of course,
Queso's up to.
Also, in a couple of weeks, Stephen Fishback and I, just under 1 month away, will be in Brea, California for the live show. I know one day we want to get out to DC to Atlanta and come see you. Either one, I guess. But
there you go.
Yeah.
The Atlanta parties are growing. I mean, they're like, you know, Davey's really pushing it down here.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's maybe for another date. But on December 4th, Stephen and I are going to be over. Rick Devin's cat is back. Hold on.
Yeah. Melvin is really
December 4th,
really loving this.
At Brea, California, the Brea Improv, Stephen Fishback and myself and a slew of local survivors will be together. Head on over to robiswebsite.com/Brea for more information about everything going on at that next live show. But I guess let's talk about this, Rick, because this was a fascinating night on Survivor. First off, I thought Jamal was toast. I was like, this was like a slow motion car wreck. And I was like, oh my, infinite oofs incoming for Jamal tonight. And somehow he narrowly averted disaster and Jack goes home. What?
That was... I thought I was going to be coming on here and talking about how, you know, it's harder to play an idol than you think. Cause first I thought he wasn't going to play it at all. Then he played it for Nora, which you're going to really have to break that down for me.
Right? That's what you're here for.
Yeah. We're going to break it down, but, man. Yeah. And then Jack with the blindside. Wow. I was blindsided.
Yeah, I know. What a wild night. And so I guess let's take this in a bunch of different parts. And I think that the headline is Kelly had the idol that was going to expire after tonight. She says, well, hate to waste the idol. So she comes up with this plan to have Dean play the idol, which works tonight. But moving forward, Rick, did you like this move for Kelly?
It's interesting. She covered her tracks because the two votes for Jack came from Nora and from Dean, not from Kelly. But I don't know what the long-term plan is. If she's trying to get in with Dean's old folks, if she just wants to have her hands in both cookie jars. Like, I was definitely questioning if it was just big move-itis, I don't want to waste this idol, or if she has a long-term plan. Maybe she really is just that connected with Dean, thinks that shared friendship outside the game is enough to trust him more.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be really tough for Kelly, because I mean, this is like the equivalent on Survivor of, okay, Kelly has now put together a murder. She's committed. Yeah. She's committed a murder, and Dean was her accomplice. And now, how confident can she be that Dean, of all people, Detective Kowalski?
Yeah.
How much is Detective Dean going to be able to keep her secret safe and not squeal that this happened? Because if word gets out to the rest of the people from Vokai that, hey, what happened to Jack? Beats me. Dean had an idol. Nora voted for him for some reason. Crazy. It's the whole thing was nuts.
And how much does Nora know? Because she's obviously a wild card. But can she throw Kelly under the bus? Especially when she right away said, I think it was Nora who said, why didn't Dean play the idol last time?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions that they're going to ask. Yeah. First of all, we have to find out who told Nora to vote for Jack. Somebody had to. Was it Kelly? Was it Dean? Then if it was Dean, then they say, well, Nora, why did you listen to Dean? Why did he like, oh, he said he had an idol. What was I going to do? Because Nora, I believe, must have been told by Kelly, hey, if Dean has an idol, you're going to want to throw your vote on somebody else. Like we saw way back when, with what happened to Dr. Mike, I believe, where Devin Pinto ended up throwing a vote on Dr. Mike when Ben Driebergen played his idol, and that's how Dr. Mike ended up going home at the final five in Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. So again, very smart to think about these contingencies, but now there's going to be questions asked by a lot of these sharp players about, well, why did Nora do this? Why did Dean do this? And why didn't Dean play the idol last time around? These are all valid questions.
Right, and who has been to the Island of Idols that might have an idol that could have given it to Dean?
Yeah,
it's the execution that Kelly had, like, as a fan of the show, I was loving it. I was so glad that she went.
We loved
for it. But definitely now it gets interesting. Now it's who can you trust with that big secret? Like you said,
Kelly, you were too busy worrying about if you could do it to stop to think about whether you should do it.
And what's the long term plan? What? Do you think she's trying to flip on her tribe and get with Dean's old folks? Or?
I'm not sure. Why was Jack such a person that she needed to get rid of moving forward? I don't necessarily know. Because my other question is that, is Kelly, who are her allies over at Vokai? And, you know, we have all these other questions going on about the existence of the Women's Alliance. And to be honest, it's confusing for many reasons that, you know, because we maybe know-it-alls, but we're not the smartest people in the world.
No one better to dissect it, I think, yes, than two white guys.
Than you and I breaking it all down. So what I think where there's a lot of confusion is that on Lyro, the original Lyro, there definitely was talk of a women's alliance. The women definitely were banded together at the Lyro. And that's not speculation. That was in the episode. Where we get into speculation is that the women of Vokai have not seemed to vocalize at any point that they had a women's alliance. So that I totally understand why women in the Vokai tribe were offended of, like, hey, with that, this is sexist to say we're a women's alliance just because there are more women than men. We're not even talking about that, even if Nora has floated the idea. What is tricky is, though, that meanwhile, on the other side of things, there actually is a women's alliance that has been effective in the early going this season.
Right. And we even heard it this episode that they're saying, you know, was it Missy or Lauren that was saying, yes, we want an all women's alliance?
Yeah.
Like, look around you. It's all like specifically
Missy
wanting an all women alliance. So,
right.
Yeah, it's two very different sides of the coin,
which is, you know, on Lyro. And, you know, it's interesting that the idea of the women's alliance, because that there are some women that it would benefit and there are some women that it wouldn't benefit in the game. In the case of the women that we've seen talking about the women's alliance on the new Lyro tribe, that it's the women that are on the bottom that are interested in the women's alliance. Where who's interested in the women's alliance? Nora and Karishma, two people that are, you know, in the bottom of the totem pole. So yeah, women's alliance would definitely behoove them because they're in the bottom of the numbers. Where there's other people like Janet and Kelly, they're like, well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But you know, don't just assume that we're having a women's alliance. And then if you look on the other side of things, people like Missy as well, who at this point, that tribally they're down in the numbers. There's more there's more Vokai than Lyra. So a women's alliance would definitely serve the people well who are in the bottom of the numbers in terms of. So if it's just a new configuration of the numbers that you can, but it, you know, but not every woman is necessarily going to be in a better position to go with the women's alliance.
No, right. The alliance I want to be in is the alliance that gets me the furthest in the game,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether it's the oldest, youngest, you know, the ones from the South, it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's been such a convention in Survivor for such a long time that you come into it aware of the fact that some women in the past have said that it's a goal to get women to the end. Just like we have seen guys that say, hey, let's bro down. Mm-hmm. Let's do this all the way to the end. So I think even Missy, I'm not sure what she wants to do, if she really wants an all-women's alliance or if she wants to work with her boy Aaron and go a little further. But the fact that she has seen it before in Survivor says, I'm at least going to use this to talk to Lauren, because that makes Lauren come with me and think that she wasn't as betrayed as she would feel if we just said, yeah, we're getting rid of all the people from the original, you know, from your original tribe.
Yeah, I think that Kim Spradlin is the person that did it the best, where that she did, you know, keep women around because she had the option to go with the Women's Alliance. And then I think she also had some flirtation with the idea of, okay, well, or I could also go with this new alliance that I've got, you know, Troyzan and Jay and Tarzan. And you know, maybe I could go with this group also. And then you can weigh your options and then go further. Even if you're telling the women along the way, hey, Women's Alliance, you're telling these guys another thing. It's all about options, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just another way to give people something they want. If the person that you want to work with is someone who would feel really good about coming on and having a strong women's alliance, then that's something you give to them. Just like on our season, it was the family visit. You know, you just keep saying it over and over. Just find out something they want and just go with it. But yeah, it was interesting. It was really interesting to hear the other perspective from Kelly at Tribal and from Janet. And it just seems more maybe about the way we discuss Survivor than the way that Jamal was playing Survivor. Because it seemed like a really legitimate threat to Jamal that Nora was talking about an all-women's alliance to get him out.
Now, Rick, you've played so recently, and that as somebody who's been watching the show and dissecting it, the thing that I have a hard time parsing is what's real and what's not real at Tribal Council. Because that Jamal is calling out Nora, but we see he's willing to play an idol on Nora. So it's hard for me to gauge how he really feels. How much of that debate that unfolded at the Tribal Council was organic, and how much of it was, say, Nora is trying to throw off what's going on with she's going to vote for Jack? That how much is Kelly trying to distract people from that actually Dean's going to play the idol? Or do you think that that was all on the level?
I felt like, looking back at it, early on, I feel like Nora's talking about how indifferent she was to Dean, how she kind of hates, even though she got a little wild card-ish, was to cover the Jack vote. I feel like when we got into the talk about the Women's Alliance, it seemed to me like this is something that Kelly really wanted to say, that she wanted this out there. Maybe even as soon as she knew she was going to be on Survivor, you know, I want to put this discussion out there, which I'm glad she did, because I think it was an interesting discussion. But it seemed from her saying it, a very organic discussion. You know, Jamal was very open to hearing what everyone had to say. I thought Janet's input was really cool. And it was like, for the second week in a row, a really interesting look at society through Survivor, which is awesome. Like my cat's trying to get in on the action meow.
But YouTube loves it.
Yeah. Good. Oh, good. Outstanding. Perfect.
Yeah. It's really wild how this all unfolded, where we had this very interesting meta conversation about the world and about Survivor in the midst of all this craziness that was unfolding.
I was trying to figure out for the life of me why Jamal plays the idol for Nora. Like, I assume he thinks that it's everyone votes for Dean and only Dean votes for one person, and he thinks that that's Nora.
Yeah.
So was his plan to just start over and then everyone vote for Karishma? He wanted Karishma out that much more than Nora?
I don't know.
We
didn't really. The only thing that we heard about Jamal was that he wanted Dean to go home. So
yeah.
It seemed like, based on what we've seen in the edit these last two episodes, that Jamal much preferred Dean staying over Nora, who he talked about with Dean last week about how she's crazy, she's got to go. You see what I'm talking about? So I don't know why. Even if that Jamal had the completely 100% correct read of, oh, Dean, he hates Nora, he's putting his vote on Nora, got to save Nora. Why? Why right. Save Nora? She's not even working with Jamal. And frankly, she just said, yeah, I hate Jamal, but at least I'm not indifferent to him.
And I assume if he saves Nora, that, like, they get rid of Karishma, who's the only other one who wasn't in their tribe. And it's like, She is totally locked in with you versus Nora, who is an absolute wild card. It made no sense to me at all.
Yeah. I mean, thank God Jamal didn't get voted out himself after this. But I really don't understand why burn an idol on Nora. And now, look, I get the impulse of Jamal. Hey, idols are coming out. Jeff, let me be safe than sorry. I gotta play my idol, but to not play it for yourself.
I know. I thought he'd definitely play it for himself, and I was going, "Oh, good. Yeah. You're actually going to save yourself." But then to play it for Nora, and then it's like I would understand that if the numbers in the tribe were closer, but you can lose Nora and still have the majority over Dean and Karishma. So, no, I have no understanding
it. Yeah, it's wild. Now, Rick, you're somebody who's been in this situation before, with sitting there at tribal council with idols. Is it, you know, you see somebody go into the bag, is that the impulse to go out? And I'm trying, did anybody play an idol ahead of you?
No one played one ahead of me. I was the first one our season to play an idol. I played it on David and didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was part of my negotiation with Wentworth to come and vote Julia off with the rest of us. So yes. It's kind of a weird thing.
Okay.
But even then, it was like a feeling like I didn't think we needed to play it. David was uncomfortable and still wanted to play it. And we went with it and were wrong. But I never regretted it. Still don't.
Yeah.
I'd much rather play it incorrectly.
Right. And live to fight another day and get another idol potentially. So,
right. Yeah. Exactly. Go right back to looking.
That was wild. And what I've been wondering about is what is Kelly's alliance? Like, who are Kelly's allies? It seems like that she's trying to cultivate Dean as somebody to right. work with, but we didn't see a ton of who she was working with when she was at the original Vokai. She was part of the vote that went against Molly. She was one of the people that voted with Tommy, Lauren, Nora, Jason. Janet was also part of that. But I don't know who's her number one. It's muddy at best.
Now, I would assume at this point that Dean is her number one. I mean, she went really out of her way to save him. But then, yeah, I think she's trying to protect that relationship with Janet. Maybe mm-hmm. she wants to get back with Tommy and Jamal. I don't know. No, because Jamal's over there. Sorry.
Jamal was part of the group that she voted against.
She has trouble talking with. Right. Yeah. It goes back to your thing about which character do you want to be? Do you want to be Jamal, who mansplains the fire, mm-hmm. and she keeps him because of that? Or do you want to be Jack, who protects her feelings and is very empathetic in the situation, and that's why she gets rid of him?
Well, she felt like that Jack was more connected to people over on, I guess, the same people that she was hoping to be aligned with.
Which I guess is Tommy, right?
It just seems like that, yeah, all roads lead to Tommy. That it's not a women's alliance. It's all the women want to work with Tommy.
Yeah, and why not?
I guess
so. What a charming fourth grade teacher when he's not giving you the death glare.
Yeah. And then I guess I don't know, like, to what level Dan is included in. Not another great night for Dan.
No, Dan seems to definitely be on the outside of whatever alliance he's in. And yet he's never really a target. Maybe it's all strategic. Maybe his whole thing is
the challenge here tonight that we saw on Vokai was, okay, Dan should definitely go home. He's not part of the alliance. He's got a lot of issues going on. And so we see Tommy and Lauren, who are working together, and say, all right, we just got to get the target on Dan. Now, it seemed like they went about this the wrong way, that Tommy tries really hard, Rick, to throw Dan under the bus, and everybody sees through it.
Yeah, it's such an obvious play, especially when the two of them are coming together. And nobody likes a tight couple on Survivor. I mean, that was David Wright's and my problem. As soon as people understand that you're a tight pair, they'd rather have two individuals than a pair. So absolutely, they just went way too hard. No subtlety at all in throwing Dan under the bus. When from the conversations we heard, if they'd kind of let things play out on their own and just breathe, they probably would have been in better shape.
Well, what could they do in that scenario? Is that the kind of thing where I feel like on Big Brother, the move is to Tommy and Lauren should get in a fight. just get in a fight and curse each other out. I hate you. You're dead to me. I never want to talk. And then people say, oh, Tommy and Lauren are fighting. We got to keep them.
Right. Or just be so awful. You can get the pans and pots and start hitting them and just be that guy that everyone wants to take to the end. Like, oh, everyone hates him. Mm-hmm. We better keep him around. But yeah, definitely. It really seems like the best move for them might have been to just sit back for a second and let the people decide like who they felt comfortable working with. Because it's not like the people are saying we want to work with Dan over them. They're just saying these two are too close.
Yeah, it just seems like that you could play on the other players, like reverse psychology, like so much of where if Tommy says like, hey, like, you know, if you vote out Lauren, I don't care, but I've got the Dan is my ride or die. I got a final two deal with Dan. It's me and Dan. We're going to the end. Like, wouldn't people be like, boy, maybe we should vote out Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. Just go up to everybody like, Dan's going to deny this to the ends of the world. But he and I are like,
yeah,
so tight.
They might believe that. Dan gets very close with people. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the better play. Make them think that Dan's part of something bigger than he is versus the odd man out.
Instead of, oh, you can't trust Dan. Like, talk Dan up. Dan is great. I love Dan. He's my best friend. Like, he's getting a good rap around here. I love that guy.
It's like there's nothing transparent about going and being like, listen, we don't like Dan, but everyone over there loves Dan. He's going to go right back into their arms. It's like, okay.
Right. It's like dealing with your kids, Rick. You go in the toy room and say, hey, whatever you guys do today, don't clean this room. This room better be a huge mess when I come back. And then they're going to, they have to, they can't help it.
Like, exactly.
Quick, let's clean this stuff up then.
we're not letting daddy clean up our mess. Dan is ours.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You've already got me.
Now, okay. So I want to stay on Nuvokai, Rick, and I feel like that this was a huge miscalculation on their part. Why didn't they throw the challenge for the old Lyra people, for Aaron and Missy and for Elaine and for Elizabeth? They got the numbers advantage. They had Tommy, a sitting duck. He could do nothing.
And it would have been so easy to throw.
So easy to throw. And on top of everything, Rick, if anybody had an idol, as Nora asked about Dean, why didn't they play an idol? Why didn't he play it last time? If any of them had an idol, it would have come out at the last tribal council, and none of them went to the island of the idols. So they had no advantages, no idols. They were a sitting duck. And now they are, by the grace of Kelly, they are, no Grace Kelly, puns intended, that one of the Lyro people ended up, or one of the Vokai people ended up going home anyway. But it would have been an original, it should have been an original Lyro person that went home. And this was crazy to me that they didn't throw this challenge.
Yeah, this, I just wonder if there was a conversation somewhere where Elaine or somebody comes up and says, hey guys, you know, we can throw this challenge and get the numbers. And Aaron and Missy just go, I don't know if we want to do that for that. That tribe is dead to us now. You know, we're working with something new. Cause that's the only thing that makes sense to me is that they just go with their original, that bridge is burned strategy that they had before Elaine earned her advantage. But other than that, yeah, if you had any intention of getting back with the people that you were in the original tribe with, there's no easier challenge to throw than this one.
It was so close. It would be very easy to throw. I really think it came down to, you know, you have people like Missy, who's an athlete, and Elizabeth, who's an Olympian, and Aaron, who seems like he knows his way around a ball field. And I feel like that people like that are like, oh, gotta win. I don't know how to lose. I can only win.
I think that's all it is like, no, I didn't come on Survivor to throw challenges. Because if there was a reward involved, then I can see them being like, you know, screw the people that we rode in here with. I just want a burger.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no reward. So I think it is just them being like, you know, who knows if they're going to be loyal to us down the line. I didn't come out here to lose. Let's just go win challenges.
Yeah.
Not worry about it.
Now, Rick, I know you were not part of a group that ever intentionally threw a challenge.
We unintentionally lost every town.
But okay, so let's say like I was out there with this group.
Other than I was in a group that threw a challenge, Becca and I.
Oh yeah, yes.
A challenge.
Yes,
the loved ones.
You knew it's not gonna go up. For
we
did.
Well,
it.
We knew going into it, we were not gonna do it. We threw it.
Yeah.
Although we could not have won.
Yeah.
We would not have beat Lloyd and Law.
If I go out there and I'm like, hey guys, what are we doing? Throw the challenge. Are people gonna that? Yeah. Could that backfire on me? And people gonna say like, hey, vote out Rob. He's talking about throwing a challenge. That's treasonous.
I can see it backfiring. I mean, it's like anything you say or do at any time, mm-hmm. as you know, can be used against you.
Yeah.
So if you say that and I want you out, I can go to the others and go, man, like I didn't realize how tight Rob was with that other tribe. Like he's way tighter than you and I are.
Yeah.
Like, we need to start looking at him.
Yeah.
So it's certainly if I brought it up and people weren't gung ho for it, if people were like mediocre, I would drop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At that point, it becomes a better me than them.
Maybe you can just like be going in slow motion and like trying to throw it, but not necessarily.
We could have War Dog on here. I think he threw a lot of challenges.
Yeah, that's his move. So, all right. Then I want to talk about the Island of the Idols. Janet went to the Island of the Idols, Rick, and we saw something I didn't think we would see this whole season. Boston Rob says, okay, here's the game. You're going to have, it's all about risk management. And Janet says, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I'll pass. Was this the right move, Rick?
First of all, can I just tell you that both myself and my mother-in-law, Debbie Ribellini, are huge fans of every impression you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
So I, the more Rob, the better. If Reem makes an appearance, I'm here for it.
Dude, you know what? I'm not going to play your game. I don't need an advantage, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that you can do these on demand like that. I thought that it was awesome that Janet said no. And you saw it on Rob's face. He was as shocked as anyone that anyone ever said no. And he was like, I wonder if his daughters were watching that and going like, that's all I want is my dad to look at me like that someday.
Yeah. Just say no when he asks if you want, if you want to do something.
Absolutely, yeah, right. Like, that was the lesson. You really learned it.
Yeah, he'll be so proud of them. But no, awesome. I thought that was wild, and I couldn't believe it. And so, what do you think was the reason that Janet said no? Do you where nobody else has been able to? We've seen all these other people. Do you think that as somebody who is older, that she is less intimidated by the moment and more inclined to be able to say like, eh? I'm not buying what you're selling.
I think it's pretty clear by the edit that she's a huge Rick Devens fan.
Yes.
So she learned from the greatest mistake or risk reward equation in Survivor history.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Chris Underwood.
What an oversight that I didn't get. I didn't open with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She learned the lesson. She says, "I don't want to be getting played."
She's like, "I don't want to be like my boy Rick Devens and get played."
What was that like, Rick? What was that like tonight? Where the flashback to the lesson? Because I was stunned that in 39 seasons, this is what they chose for. Like, what's the greatest example of risk reward on Survivor? And it's Chris Underwood making the fire against you.
Chris Underwood crushing it. It was seriously like, oh, Becca, look, it's our season. And I'm like, which one is it? And then it's very evident very quickly that it's the worst moment of my entire life. Losing it fire to Chris Underwood.
Yeah.
My good friend.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was like, I mean, I guess it's a great example of risk versus reward.
I guess so.
Good job. And I would much rather see myself losing on Survivor than not see myself on Survivor at all. So
yes.
I'm into it, Rob.
Okay, so it's better like being in the montage of like getting dunked on than to not be in the montage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to be like, you know, with the Erics and the Jameses.
Also,
I just keep coming up every couple seasons.
Maybe at some point they'll show like Boston Rob talk about, hey, I had a lot of blindsides in my time. And maybe I'll get in the montage at some point.
that would be, you know, there's a lot of Rob. What am I doing? Huge mistake. I wish we weren't live right now. Yeah. Like, let's start over.
You know, Rick, that I was watching part of the episode with my son, Dominic. And, you know, I always like to show him what's going on Survivor, because he, you know, thinks of things that nobody else is thinking about. And I was showing him the Island of the Idols. And he said, Dad, why do they call him Boston Rob? There's not any other Robs there. It's like, yeah, you're right. That why do they have to call him Boston Rob? They could just call him regular Rob.
I thought he had his name legally changed. I didn't even know that was an option anymore.
Yeah. So much confusion. But yeah, I thought that was really amazing, though, that Janet.
That's a really good point by Dominic, though.
Yeah, yes. But I thought it was really amazing that Janet didn't end up doing this. And I just wonder if we'll see it again this season.
I don't know. I mean, it was such a great decision on her part, but it was also the right decision. Mm-hmm. In those circumstances, like, to not risk your vote. But as I've heard you and Steven talk about the last couple of weeks, I mean, if someone puts something in front of you on Survivor, you want to do it, just because that's your dream, is to go out there and compete on Survivor. Your days are really boring.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even if there's something wrong, like, oh, now I don't have a vote, it's like, hey, there's something else fun that you had to deal with.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Janet's definitely the outlier. I think we're going to see maybe one more person says no, but I doubt it.
Did you think she made the right decision to not play the game? Now, just to reset what the offer was, that if she took it, or if she, it seemed like that it was going to be like some like shell game, three card Monty that she was going to have to do with Rob. But it seemed like that she would have it was called safety without power, which I think that they could work on the branding on that. It's kind of a mouthful for the safety without power advantage, but you just get to leave the tribal council. Can we call that? Is that like ghosting, like your tribe? All right. I'll be right back, guys. Like, you just go to the voting booth and never come out.
Yeah. And Jeff just doesn't address it at all. Yeah, yeah. That would actually be terrific.
Like, wasn't Janet just here? All right. Moving on.
Yeah, exactly. No, I definitely think she made the right decision because of where she is in the game, which is no one's been writing her name down. Like, she doesn't feel like she's really threatened. If they feel like a merge is coming soon, she probably feels like that makes her even safer, because mm-hmm. there's more numbers and people won't look at her as a threat. And she really sounded like what she didn't want was to put that target on her of walking away and everyone knowing she had something.
Yeah.
So for all those reasons, plus the fact that she didn't want to lose her vote because they're so strong in the numbers, I think it was a great decision out of Janet, who I love. Like,
she was
definitely
great.
One of my favorites of the season.
She had a really great episode.
She flashed everybody on her way back from the Island of Idols.
Yeah, that's wild.
Amazing. Jack looked like he was blown away. At least he got that before, you know, he got voted out.
At least.
Yeah. Going away.
Although, yeah, Janet could have played that better and could have worked out getting some peanut butter and chocolate if she that's a different lesson. But Rick, that I think that there might be something to, I feel like that for Janet it was the right move to turn it down, but would it have been the right move for Rick Devins to turn it down? You're out there, a similar spot. That could you say no to something like that, like for the type of game that you ended up having to play, that doesn't having all the advantages, like, doesn't that help some people? And then there's some people where you're Janet, you're playing a real clean game, just nothing but, you know, loyalty to my group. She's not pulling anything fancy out, where it would be out of character for Janet to play something like that. But for certain people, like a you or a Tony or somebody who they're sort of like, that's part of their brand, that they're going to play these advantages. Like, wouldn't you take that offer?
I'd like to think that if I was in the same situation as Janet, I wouldn't take that offer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just too early in the game. I mean, she's not even at the merge yet, and no one's looking at her. And I think that that's great. And that's the game I was, you know, trying to play, and I didn't get back in till the merge. And even then I tried to lay a little bit under the radar until I couldn't anymore.
Yeah.
And once I got that target on me, I couldn't get it off. So I think she's worried that if she gets the target on her that early, she won't be able to get it off, and she has a long way to go.
So, really,
so I think later in the game, if she had the same option, she would take it.
So it's not necessarily the type of game that she's playing. It's sort of like the position that she's in, where you're like the origin story of Rick Devins, where you were in a nice, seemingly safe space with a big group. You wouldn't have done anything fancy. Once you get to the point where you're on the bottom, people like you're not in the numbers. Now you got to, you know, scratch and claw for every advantage you can find.
Yeah. And I mean, it's even like when you look at the fact that I was voted out early pre-merge in the game, I was very confident that I was in danger that night, but I wasn't sure I was the guy. I thought it was probably going to be David or I, and it could be Lauren. So I was restrained. Like, the me late in the game would have gone crazy looking for idols. I would have torn the island apart. I probably would have found it and saved myself. But the me early in the game that still thought that I had a chance socially with these people to work together, mm-hmm. they hadn't cut me off yet, was much more restrained. And it ended up being my downfall. Hopefully that won't be the case for Janet, that she doesn't have to play big early. Because I think if you can wait to play big, you should. But at some point, she will have to play big. I mean, that's been Survivor these days, that at some point, you got to do something splashy that you can talk about to the jury.
Okay. All right.
I think. That seems to be what people have been voting for. Right? I'm not trying to say that's the right way to play.
That seems to be. Yeah. Speaking of people voting, we heard tonight, and I had to like do a double take when I heard Jack talk about like, hey, this is awesome, I'm on the jury. Like, wait, what?
Yeah,
Jack's on the jury. Now, by my math, so Jack became the sixth, or I guess he's the seventh player voted out of the game. And so going into tonight, then there were now 13 people or there were 14 people left in the game going into tonight's episode. So that would make an 11 person jury. Was it that, hey, Edge of Extinction, they had a huge jury. We love it now.
Yeah, that was a real surprise that came out of nowhere of him just being like, I'm so excited to be on the jury. I guess they just told him like right before he sat down, like, hey, you're on the jury.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Jeff, I went back. I think that Jeff said, seventh person voted out, first member of our jury.
Jack.
You
did. Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they did like just having a big jury. It certainly made for a long final tribal council with a lot of different perspectives. I mean, with all of us, 15 people, I think it was, there was no stones left unturned. So maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah. So again, another big jury. I do think that Survivor likes the peanut gallery at the tribal councils. I do think that that's sort of like a tribal council was filmed before a live studio audience.
And now how are they going to do that with Rob and Sandra also? It's like, you who has the more surprising take?
Well,
we had some definite facial expressions on our season. People never even noticed.
This is a good point, Rick. So, all right. Rob and Sandra are hiding in the hot box. Is that what it was called? Now you have here, Nora has been to Island of the Idols. Kelly's been to the Island of the Idols. We also saw Janet go tonight. So yeah. Do you think at some point that Rob and Sandra will be unmasked to the rest of the players? Do you think that like when we get to the merge, it will be some sort of like, all right, let's if some of you know, some of you don't, but this season's all about Island of the Idols, and they'll just let Rob and Sandra sit at tribal council.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, it is weird right now. You have to show them at some point, right? I mean, you can't have somebody get to the final tribal council having no idea that Rob and Sandra were ever a part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will show them at the merge and just kind of let it stop being a secret. But it seems like there's been so much work that's gone into keeping it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And they even showed tonight, like Kelly was talking about how like there's two groups, like the people who've gone and the people who haven't gone, that I think they're going to want to see that play out a little bit once the merge comes.
Yeah. What's also been
I definitely
wild,
think for final tribal, I don't know. I don't think that they should show them because then people will look to them to see how they're reacting.
Yeah. I think it's the reveal's happening though. I don't think it's going to be a secret the whole season.
But do you think that, and do you think they'll just sit him there like jury members?
I don't know what we're going to do. I think that they will have seats at the tribal council where they'll be part of it. I don't know if they'll be in the same box as the jury, but Rick, we're going to get to a point where there's like two people that don't know Rob and Sandra on the Island of the Idols. Yeah. It's like, oh, don't tell Jamal and Dean, but you know, we're like everybody else can talk about it. We're not allowed to tell you guys.
Yeah. And I would think, you know, now that Sandra and Karishma, they have like matching bandages,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Sandra, it's like they're choosing favorites. Like Sandra's dressing like her favorite castaways now.
She's cosplaying as Karishma. Is that
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Karishma hasn't been to the Island of the Idols. She can't be one of Sandra's favorites yet. But Sandra, I think, got some sort of like poison ivy based on what you were saying on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What's also interesting, though, is that there's been five people who have gone to the Island of the Idols, and it was all women and Vince. And Vince is the one person who went and got voted out. So interesting that the four people that have been to the Island of the Idols and have that bond are also women in this season. And also we had Sandra talk about how she.
I'm so sick of people talking about how it's all women and Vince that go to the Island of Idols.
Sorry.
Like, they're more than just women. OK, they've got relationships with Boston Rob out there.
Yes.
I mean, I just wanted to put that out there.
Sorry. Yeah. All right. So. Lots of stuff to, it was a, you know, a wild season with everything going on. We got this merge coming up and good luck trying to figure this out.
Oh my gosh. I have no idea what's going on now, especially with, like you said, Dean is the detective and he's the only one that knows what's going on with the mystery. So which of these others is going to become an investigator?
I don't know. We're going to have like Detective Janet on the case and Detective Jamal. Why did I end up playing my idol last time?
And does Kelly go back to Tommy and say, hey, Tommy, I did this thing? Or does she try to even keep it a secret from the people she gets
back with? Well, Tommy will be mad. Jack was one of his allies. Yeah. Everybody will be mad.
And now we've seen that you don't want it. You don't want Tommy when he's angry.
Right. You don't want those Tommy glares.
I didn't think Tommy had it in him.
And no, he gets mad.
I had nightmares after last week's tribal.
Yeah. Okay. The, you know, the red hair, fire, fiery.
There it is.
Temper.
That's right. That's like Victoria on our season.
I wouldn't cross her either.
No, she seems so calm and docile, but man, she'll tear you apart.
Yeah.
With a smile on her face.
Okay. Rick, who would win a fire making challenge between you and Jamal? Who would get the fire started first?
I would whoop Jamal. Okay. The producers told me that Chris Underwood started that fire faster than anyone has ever done a fire by far in the fire making challenge. And I was right behind him. Okay. That being said, I would let Kelly do it. I would let Kelly be my champion.
Yes. Yeah, have her be the champion. Yeah,
absolutely. She can fight for me.
Look, I can promise everybody out there that I would that if I was ever on Survivor and any woman said that, hey Rob, can I see that Flint? Please be my guest. Don't make me embarrass myself on TV trying to get this fire started. Okay,
that was my whole thing. Yeah, like just let anyone do anything that they want to do.
I'm about to chop my fingers off.
Do stuff that no one else is willing to do at that moment. It's like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
If someone wants to do it, go for it.
Yeah. If anything, you know, I'll do the husband move of honey, is this how you load the dishwasher? I don't know.
I'm trying to shave the flint off.
I'm much better at loading the dishwasher than my wife is. Okay. All right.
Thank you. I opened the dishwasher the other day and it's literally the whole front. I thought it was full. And then I open it and not even a single dish from the back two rows back.
Yeah.
Just front load instead of starting from the back. Like,
not good. All right. We're going to get into some questions with Rick Devins. Rick, I'm having so much fun. Thank you for being here with us.
I'm loving this. You know, you've put in so much work with Stephen Fishback, and I know that's not easy. So I'm happy that I could come and bring some joy to your life.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get to some questions, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, a new sponsor on the podcast. And I'm happy to tell you about Happy Cards because, Rick, look, that, admit it, you love getting gift cards for a gift, right? You want somebody to try to get you some socks with their face on it, or you want a gift card?
Depending on the face on the socks, almost always the gift card, though.
Of course, you want the gift card. Unless
I got my kids on my socks.
Yeah, that's right. And then, unless it's like Ron Clark giving you one of these expired gift cards, you don't have to worry about that with Happy Cards, because when you use Happy Cards, your lucky loved one can use them at any number of stores that are featured on the card. They've got specific cards for different types of people. For your mom, wife, or sister, check out Happy Her, which includes stores like Cheesecake Factory, Macy's, Panera Bread, Bed Bath & Beyond, Sephora, Spa Finder. They've got ones for teenagers. And for the restaurant lover in your life, they've got a Happy Eats card, which includes Cracker Barrel, Dave & Buster's, Buffalo Wild Wings, Panera Bread, all in the top five sit-down restaurants ranked by Karishma.
There you go.
Top five.
Is that top five? I know her number one. Absolutely.
They're in the top five. So they're great last-minute gifts as well. No fees, no stress. They never expire, unlike Ron's advantage that he tried to give to Rick Devins. Best of all, you can avoid the headaches of holiday shopping by heading over to giftcards.com. Have a happy card delivered straight to your door all season long. Enjoy free shipping on happy cards. Order by visiting giftcards.com/happy or pick one up at your local grocery store. Have a happy holiday season with Happy Cards. Okay, Rick, let's take some questions. Okay, here. Let's get the ball rolling here. Let's take one from Christian Esparza, who says, what is the percentage that a woman is winning this season? Now, I guess let's... if we were... Now, look, don't ask us to do math on the fly. I don't speak for Rick Devins, okay? But I don't know if we can give you a percentage now.
I'm no war dog doing the calculations in my head at the moment.
So with 13 people left, give me the men that you would say are the contenders, and then let's just give us the women that are contenders for this thing.
The men that are contenders, I still think that Tommy is a contender.
Certainly a contender. And then other men, would you say, who else is on the board that we're talking about as a... I think
Dan is never really talked about as someone that they're going to get rid of, but he's never really talked about as someone.
Well, that's the thing about
as a big threat to
season
win either.
39 is like, are you good at Survivor or bad at Survivor? And if you're bad at Survivor, then you're safe. They're not coming for
you. Right. Like Jamal looked like he had some social issues tonight. So it's like, maybe that means he's going all the way to the end.
Yeah. I feel like that's like a point in his favor that, okay, well, some people are mad at Jamal, so he'll stay around. I think that Jamal and Aaron, I think you put them like, it's sort of like a second tier contenders, but I don't have them at the hot list right now. But on the women's side, I think we do have a couple of people that we need to talk about. Certainly that we would say, from the tribe that went to tribal council tonight, I think that we have to talk about Kelly. I think she's very much
definitely in
the mix. And Janet is
absolutely the chief.
Yeah, is very much in the mix. And then on the other tribe, I think that we still have Missy, we have Elaine, we have Elizabeth, and we have Lauren. So I feel like that there's six women who I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. Am I?
No, you put Elaine in there, right?
Yeah, Elaine also.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. So the women are looking strong. And we actually saw a softer side of Missy tonight, which I thought was good when we saw her dealing with Lauren, because we've only seen the cutthroat side. And I met her in person and I was like, wow, she's like super charming and mm-hmm. likable. And you kind of saw that tonight, which I think shows her as an even bigger threat in the game.
Yeah, so
that she's not just cutthroat. She's also like really pleasant to be around.
Okay, so of the people that we're talking about contenders, that seems like 6 out of 9. So hey, it's at least at this point 66%.
And I would up that to 68%.
Yeah. Were you born at night, Rick?
I don't know, Rob.
Yeah. Sandra talked about going double or nothing with Boston Rob. Is she referring to the bet that they made on heroes versus villains when if Coach was going to be able to climb up the tree, they bet $1 on the beach. Is that what Sandra's referring
to? Deep pool. I think it has to be. What else could it be?
I think that might be it. I think that's I don't know of any other bets that they made unless it was something that happened off camera.
Speaking of Boston, were you surprised that Janet didn't get any like negotiation, that Rob didn't come back at her and be like, well, I'll give you this walkaway power for four tribal councils?
Yeah. What happened with that? It was supposed to be like, oh,
right.
Okay,
he's supposed to start giving her stuff.
Right.
And he was just like, oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. We saw Kelly be like, I don't know if I should do it.
Yeah.
They're like, okay. What if you only have to get three right? Like, what should Janet have gotten? The ability to get more advantages?
Or an easier game?
Easier game. Yo, what do you think?
Less risk?
It was going to be that he was going to put those colored tiles into a bag and she was going to have to pick one out?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's like if it's a risk reward thing, then he should negotiate either like less risk or more reward.
Yeah.
To stick with the negotiation theme.
Okay. All right.
But Rick, I think he was just like so shocked that she said no straight up that he was just like, okay.
Yeah. Rick,
get back to building my castle.
Yeah. Let's take a question from Mike Edwards. What does Mike have to say?
Mike says, does going to the Island of the Idols kind of make you an automatic alliance?
Okay.
That's interesting. That's like what Kelly was saying, that she's automatically connected to Nora and then Janet when she gets back. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you would have some experience with this from the Edge of Extinction, but the only, you and Chris had a unique relationship where you were on the same tribe to begin with, but you were both on the Edge of Extinction together. Do you think that as somebody who visited a special island that would bond people? Because I think that having having to share the lie, I do think it bonds people.
I absolutely think it bonds them, that they share the lie, because anything you know with one other person or a small group of people brings you together. Like Chris and I did have this great relationship that they don't have from the Edge of the Extinction. But one of the things that brought us together is when we finally talked after he got back in, I looked right at him and said, what did they give you when you got back? Because I knew that he had gotten one of the, half and half idols that I had gotten. And no one but he and I knew exactly how that worked, and David, who I told. I think this absolutely brings people together. It makes you have one-on-one conversations with the people, whether you would have planned to or not. Now you have to go and talk to Janet about what just happened, whereas maybe you wouldn't have ever talked to Janet in your day.
Okay, let's take one from Survivor Brent. Was there a reward challenge that we didn't get to see? When they came in for immunity, Jeff didn't say his usual getting your first look at the new Vokai tribe. Jason voted out the last tribal. Perhaps it was cut for time. Rick, what do you think? Do you think that there was a reward challenge that happened that we didn't see?
It makes sense based on what he's saying. And this sort of thing does happen. I believe it was revealed by some of the folks on my castmates in their post-show interviews that we had a reward challenge that was cut for time one time. And it was actually the exact challenge they had tonight for immunity.
Yes.
They had it with just two tribes with big groups. We had it three tribes of three people. But the coconut one into the puzzle, into the thing. And it was a burger reward and they had to cut it.
I don't mind if they cut a reward challenge. I really don't. I'm glad. I've been saying I don't care about the reward unless something meaningful happens. Then I really don't care. From your season that I feel like that in those other players that revealed that information during their postseason interviews, I feel like there was also some talk that there was like some meaning, like the actual competition didn't have meaning, but there was like some bonds that got formed by the people that went to those things that helped like inform what was going on. But as pre-merge, like, what do we need to see? The reward was.
Absolutely. Definitely pre-merge. And even our season, it's like, again, anytime people go off on a reward together and you don't go with them, you wonder about what's happening. And that's all it was, is like, hey, maybe they're talking about this. But again, they, for our season, they cut it for good reason. They cut it to show that extended tribal council with Julia.
Yeah.
So if it was cut from this episode, it's because they wanted to show us more good stuff that was obviously better than the reward challenge. Like, they don't make decisions to show us the worst stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not what they're in the business of doing.
Rick, basically at this point in my life, if they're not having Applebee's, then GTFO with the reward challenge.
Yeah, I'm totally with that.
If I'm not
totally
watching people...
Unless they bring Outback back just for Sandra.
Right. But if they're having shark balls, then it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Or pineapple Ritas, but anything else, then skip it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Rick, what does the Wyatt the Elf have to say? Boy, Wyatt the Elf, we're all in on holidays.
No respect for Thanksgiving. We're just powering through. Hey, at Rick Devins, were you traumatized when they pulled the EOE flashback?
No.
No, I was totally fine when they pulled that.
You were traumatized when it
Wyatt
happened. Yeah, not when it flashed
back. That I was traumatized.
Yeah.
No, I'm over it at this point.
Yeah.
I only think about it every day, but no, not traumatized.
Rick, did you see this week where Randy Bailey announced that he was doing an award?
Big check.
That was going. He sent $5 to Aaron Meredith, who ended up taking the life of the poor chicken to balance out the wonderful Sia Award, which is such a nice thing that has been going on these last few seasons.
I'm a Randy fan. But I'm firmly in Sia's camp on
you
this.
You are Team Sia.
For obvious reasons.
Randy should stop doing that, right?
Like, even if Sia was on the team of just, like, polluting the earth, I'd be like, yeah, I'm rolling with Sia on this. But in this case, I mean,
not.
Look at me. I'm surrounded by pictures of my animals. So
you love animals.
I'm with Sia on this. If I could never kill a chicken. Honestly. Like, if I had to kill it, no way. I ate it.
Yeah.
I'm a hypocrite in that way, but there is no way I could kill it. And I was actively working to protect the chickens that Wendy freed by the end of the game because I wasn't that hungry and I didn't want to see them die. They were my only alliance.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't think they put me in charge of killing the chicken either. Okay. All right.
What would Rob have said if you had been in charge of killing the chickens your season? If you were like Nora and you came back from the Island of Idols and were like, listen, the rule is we get the chickens, but I have to be the one to kill the chickens.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm getting past, forget Boston Rob. I don't think I'm getting past Big Tom, who's like, hey, Sestrinitas, this is going to kill a chicken. Gather around, everybody. We're going to watch little Rob try to kill a chicken. Sue Hawk. Oh, yeah. I like to see this. No, I don't think it was going to happen. I would not be the person to be killing. Now, Alicia, I think she could do it.
She's not the one nominated.
Yeah, she has no issue.
I was like, guys, I'm going to go check on Wendy. I'm going to go follow her and make sure she doesn't find an idol because I knew Wendy was as far from killing the chicken as possible. That's where I went.
Yeah. Austin Rhodes in the chat says, looking good, Steven. So you got that going for you as well.
Thank you. Now that I'm in LA, I dropped the blazer and put on just this zip hoodie. I got my Rob Has a Podcast Le Cheesery Cheese Bell shirt because Rick Devins is my favorite Survivor player. That's something I, Stephen Fishback, have never announced publicly. I'm letting the beard grow out.
Yeah, nice, nice.
Because it was People Magazine that wouldn't let me grow it out before. that's part of the reason. I said, not anymore, people.
All right. Will Donnell says, Jeff Probst said Jack was the first jury member tonight, but we haven't hit the merge yet. Does that mean there will be a vote, a jury member out advantage in a future episode? Could that be something that we see given away at the Island of the Idols, Rick, of, hey, you get to vote out a juror?
Wow. That would be really interesting. I'd be excited about it because it's something they've never done before, but that seems like really a big advantage. I mean, it could end up being a nothing advantage. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I think they just like having big juries. I don't think it means that for sure, but it's an option. What do you think?
I think they like Big Jury. I really think that the jury on your season, I think that they like it when, like, oh, it's like a blindside happens and then there's 12 people like falling out of their chairs and being crazy. Like, I think that they feel like that heightens everything that happens. Something funny happens. People laugh. They like the survivors, playing to the jury. So I think that just having that sort of like, Greek chorus at the tribal councils, I think the show likes it.
Yeah. And I mean, it changes tribal councils. I mean, not just me. I'm an obvious case, but everyone behaves differently once that jury is there. Mm-hmm. And it's, as a TV producer, I would absolutely want to get a jury there as soon as possible just for that. Because you're not performing for the cameras. By that point, you're used to the cameras. But once the jury's there, you're performing for the people right in front of you. And I think it does get bigger moments on the show.
Can I also say that when we were talking about Jamal in the tribal council, I love the moment where Kelly, you talked about how, you know, hey, I think that the whole Women's Alliance talk is sexist. And she made all of her points. But then Jamal said, you know, I agree with you. But Jeff, just as a thought experiment, could you please ask Nora if she had said it was arbitrary to say that it was Women's Alliance? Could you please ask Nora about the Women's Alliance? And I've never seen a survivor that like Jamal was like a courtroom attorney he used Jeff. He told Jeff Probst to ask the question. And I feel like that was so effective, as opposed to Jamal just coming on saying, Nora, did you or did you not say that you wanted to be in a Women's Alliance? But then she had to answer it because Jeff asked her.
Yeah, I think it's like, have you ever been at home and been like, Dominic, will you ask your mother how many times I've told her to do this, this, and this?
Yeah. That would not go well, Rick.
I get that. Mm-hmm. And I love how Jeff is just like totally game for it. Like, even did the exact same hand motions that Jamal did.
Which is also funny because it fits in with the runner that Jamal is trying to steal Jeff Probst's job this season, between when Jeff Probst had Jamal say, once the torch is out, then so are you, and Jamal yelling all the fixins.
All the fixins.
Yeah, and now he's saying, like, Jeff, here's a question to ask this person.
I think Kelly should feel better about having the fireman explain to her, because even Jeff is getting his job mansplained to him. Jeff, I don't want to tell you how to do the job you've been doing for 38 and a half seasons, but I would ask Nora.
I think a really good question to ask Nora right now would be, but Jeff seemed game.
He's totally into it.
It was good.
If you're mixing it up at Tribal, Jeff is into it. He's only upset if you shut it down, as you know.
Right. Yeah. I would like to see more survivors.
He's happy to step back and just like let it go.
Pitch questions to Jeff. Okay.
Next, if I ever go on Survivor again, though, just know that constantly I'm going to be like, Jeff, this is what I would ask if I was you.
Yeah. Okay. Brian has a question. What does Brian want to know?
Brian Williams, who is watching Survivor instead of newscasting these days, says,
fellow newscaster.
Tommy and Lauren's pitch to Missy to vote Dan seemed to be a mistake because they did it together. How could they have more subtly thrown him under the bus?
Yeah, well, we talked about the idea of talking Dan up, or, you know, making it seem like that they were not on the same page. I just don't know necessarily if they were just too obvious with it. I mean, we've seen Sandra talk about, as recently as, early in the season, flashing back to starting a rumor. Oh, coach is trying to get you voted out, Russell, and then getting coach voted out of the game. So there are ways to do it, but it just seemed like that they were a little too on the nose.
Yeah. And I mean, you had the one scene, I guess they were at the well, where it's literally the two of them. I forget who they were talking to. But it reminded me a lot of the way David Wright and I did business out there when he was still in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, we oftentimes, we'd go our separate ways and send our messages individually, but then we'd end up together talking to someone. And it's just so obvious that you're a pair if you're talking to people about the same thing together. So they couldn't have made it more obvious that they were tight as he threw them under the bus. Just like we talked about earlier, So if they really were desperate, they could have done something, you know, act like you're getting caught with Dan, act like Dan is trying to drag you off. Maybe they would have gotten more creative with it if they'd ended up losing the challenge.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe they could have like picked the fight with Dan, like for real, to the point where Dan is like coming to them and saying like, hey, I want to vote out Lauren or Tommy. And then maybe then just like change the narrative, because what they were doing was not working. And I think that's why, right, Tommy was getting so mad at the challenge of that. I think he might have been worried that they were going to throw it.
I definitely, when he's just like, move it like a foot and you'll be fine, think he was freaking out about the possibility of throwing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think an even more, like with Dan, don't even make it strategic. Make it like, oh, like when you were gone, Dan took an extra scoop of rice. Dan did, just make all the little things where it's like, we got to get rid of one of these three. We may as well get rid of the one who's bugging us or something like that. But they were, way too on the nose.
Okay. Thomas has a question, wants to ask, with so many men being voted out pre-merge, how will one make it to the end and plead their case against a very strong female cast? P.S. I love you, Devins. Wow. Okay.
I love you too, Thomas Royce. Yeah. Always have. I say that all the time.
I mean, I don't know necessarily if you would have a tough jury argument if you were the only man who made it to the end. I think that the question would be, you know, if a women's alliance does end up taking hold, then, you know, how do you stop from, you know, your number ending up getting called eventually? And I think that what you have to do is sort of like, you know, pitch your case to, there are always going to be, if there are six women working together, three are going to be on the bottom. I mean, and this was sort of the struggle that Troyzan and Tarzan both had to deal with in Survivor One World. When the women were working together, Kim had such a good thing going in terms of being a cult leader in that season that Troyzan was saying like, hey, Kat, you know, hey, Alicia, hey, Christina Cha, you guys are 4, 5, 6, vote with me. And they're like, no way, Troyzan. You know, you're crazy. Kim's our best friend. She wouldn't do that to us.
Yeah, people don't want to accept that. We tried to tell Aurora, they're going to vote you out, Aurora. They're going to vote you out. But people just stay steadfast. And so I definitely think someone can slide by, because these players don't seem like they're going to, you know, sign on for an all-woman pagonging, you know, just to say that they did it. And then if you're that guy that just slides by as the women kind of fall apart, if there was an all-women's alliance like we're theorizing here, then by the time you get to final tribal council, you didn't stab anyone in the back, whereas all these people are going to be upset at the people who betrayed them.
This actually happened once. It's called Survivor Vanuatu.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what happened, where Chris was the only guy left. It was a men versus women season. The women all wanted to work together, and Chris started making a lot of sense to Twyla and to Scout, and ultimately to Eliza, and said, hey, come vote, you know, vote with me that you guys aren't in the top four.
Yeah, exactly. And Chris gets to the end, and they are all so upset with Twyla because she turned on them that he ended up winning the whole thing. And I think that could easily happen this season, especially, I mean, if you really turn into a women's alliance, you know, narration, which would be ironic after tonight's tribal. But if that, like, Missy got that together and that's what they were trying to do, and then you turn on each other, I think it hurts even more. It makes you even more bitter. If you're that jury member, you're like, she didn't just turn on me. She turned on all women.
Yeah. Well, that's how you would have
that, and then you talk yourself into the guy being a better representation than this one. You know, you justify whatever you want to do by the time you're a jury.
Right. And that's what you would have to be working against if you were, say, the only one or two of the only guys that were left, and there were women who were working together as a group. Where then if you were part of the women's group trying to keep that group together, like, hey, do you want to be on TV seen as the one woman who went against the women that were working together? But at some point it's like, but do you also want to win the money? Do you want $1 million? So that's really, you have to, you know, do you want to be seen as you know, part of this group? Like, would, you know, was it better for, you know, Kat Ederson to be seen as somebody who was loyal to the group, or somebody that would have potentially, you know, could have gotten the million? Not that she was going to necessarily win, but got further in the game. I think that probably in hindsight would probably have gotten further in the game.
And I feel like these women specifically on this season are the type of women that are self-confident and strong. And like Kelly said, they're going to get to the point where they have to make a decision, and they're going to make whatever decision is best for them, whether it's the guy or the girl. I don't see anyone just hanging on because they're scared of what the outside world thinks of them. They're here to game.
Yeah. And just to use Survivor One World as an example, one more time, that Kim was so good, and I'm not sure who the second best person was, but I feel like that there was a significant drop off between Kim to the other people. And I'm not sure if we have one woman who, say, you know, when we're talking about, you know, Missy and Janet and Kelly and Elaine and Elizabeth, that I feel like that they're all various levels of good. And it's not like that there's going to be one who's running circles around all of them.
Yeah. And I just feel like specifically Janet, Missy, Kelly, I mean, they're just not falling in. They're not going to be anyone's number two, period.
Right.
And I wouldn't be a bit surprised with Lauren, Elaine, Elizabeth either, but definitely those three. It's just like, as soon as Missy realizes she's the number two in a relationship, she's going to get rid of number one. That just seems the game
right.
She's playing.
And we're going to start looking at like all these other pawns where, you know, Missy has Aaron as her and you know, who has Tommy. And so I don't think it's going to hold where that there's going to be some sort of a run where the women wipe out all the men that are on the board. I don't think it's going to happen.
No. And can we pencil Karishma in for the final two now?
Well, I think that we're penciling in, okay, Karishma and Nora, right?
Yeah, it's two of the final three. and one of them might win because whoever else is going to be such a game player.
Rick,
they might really annoy people.
Do you think that the fire making helps or hurts the chances of there being potentially two goats in the end?
I think it definitely hurts.
I feel like it invites one of like, okay, let me take this person, but then somebody still has to get through in terms of winning that challenge or winning the fire making challenge. I think it's hard to have two people who are necessarily like the Karishma, unless you have a situation
right, unless you're just like a really bad player, but the one thing you can do is make fire.
Yes, I've never seen that before. Yes. I can't imagine a scenario where that could unfold.
If Nora, just like her only hobby was making fire. We hadn't gotten to that point in the game where she said that yet.
But I think that, I thought that's one area where the final four fire making challenge, you know, barring scenarios where, say, you know, Chris is going to make, like, if it's you and Chris and, you know, Nora and Karishma, and then Chris is going to go into the fire making challenge to knock you out to go to the potentially.
Right.
And I don't know how much we're, like, how many people necessarily are going to make that same calculated risk. I do feel like that the fire
the making biggest calculated risk in the history of Survivor.
Right. Like I think that the fire making challenge does most, like, unless someone is crazy enough to do the Chris Underwood, I think that it sort of prevents two people who are goats from getting to the end.
And the Chris Underwood situation was so unique. I mean, I think if you get into a position where you're in the whole game, you probably feel like your resume's big enough that you don't have to risk it. Whereas he, you know, was in such a position where he needed that. Plus, he needed to get me out of the game. I mean, it's not like he could have beat me in the finals. So he not only needed that for his resume, but needed to get rid
right.
of me. So I'm with you. I think almost all the time we're going to see it make the finals, the final three stronger versus weaker.
Do you think that we'll see that more often than not, what Chris did moving forward?
No. I think that's still going to be the outlier.
Yeah.
I don't think people will risk that because it was so obvious that Chris needed to do that. Like the only other situation that comes close is the Wendell and Dominic one. And it wasn't nearly as obvious
right.
that Dom needed to step up and do that. So you don't want to risk it.
Okay.
And I think that'll be typically what it is.
And these players did not see your season in entirety, that they saw the first like four or five episodes, I feel like, but I don't think that they got to the end of your season.
Okay.
So they would not have known that on location, that was a thing that can be done.
They still that would be so disappointing if you think you're the first person to ever
look what I invented.
Can you imagine?
Right. I mean, Janet should have been like, oh, you guys spoiled me on season 38. I was gonna watch the whole thing when I got home. I had it all DVR'd. Thanks a lot, Rob.
I know. She comes back and she's like, Rob and Sandra nonstop talking about this Rick Devin.
Okay. All right. Lydia says, why do you think they cut the reaction to Jason getting voted out? We think that maybe potentially there was a reward challenge that we didn't get to see. So more bad luck for Jason, who also was one. Now is what learns he was one person short of being on the jury, Rick.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. J-Sob Lynn Ternino. Really,
the hits off the tongue.
Coming for that poor guy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What about A is for ant, Rick?
A is for ant. I know that we can only speculate, but how do you think Nora ended up being a vote for Jack?
I mean, Kelly had to tell her, right?
Yeah, I think Kelly probably has a relationship with Nora based off them both going to Island of Idols. And Janet being the only other one that's done that. And she probably used that relationship and said, hey, I agree with you. Like, Jamal and Jack are getting a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that she said, someone's going to vote for you in case Dean has an idol. You're the backup plan. But if you vote for someone else, then that'll cancel it out.
Yeah.
That's my guess of how she did it.
I think you're right. Then Evan wants to know, why didn't Lyro think about splitting the vote between Dean and Karishma? So how many votes did we end up having there? Was it five, two? Was there seven? And so that the Vokai people, the original Vokai, it was Jack, Jamal, Janet, Nora, and Kelly. And then Dean and Karishma. So they could have potentially put three votes on Dean, two votes on Karishma.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm guessing that they just didn't want to alienate Karishma. And they're probably looking around and going, Dean has never been to the Island of Idols.
Right.
He couldn't have gotten it that way.
And he didn't play an idol at the last tribal council.
Right.
So,
which was an obvious spot of him going home.
Right.
In his mind.
So, yeah, I think that that's the reason why, and totally understandable that they would think that Dean doesn't have the idol from this camp, because they would have played it from last time out.
And probably wasn't a real big discussion either, because they're so fractured that if you go deeper to a second person, people start looking at each other. So it's probably something you don't even want to talk about as a group. Because then you'll realize, like, oh, Nora kind of wants to get rid of Jamal and vice versa.
Yeah. And I think they also probably feel like, well, and even if Dean has an idol, he's going to vote for Nora.
Yeah, right.
Who cares?
He can't stand Nora. Right.
Okay. All right. Rick, what about Emily? What does Emily have to say?
Emily says, who's most vulnerable in the coming merge?
Emily. Okay. Rick, who's the merge boot?
Hashtag Purple Pants Podcast.
Yes.
Merge boot. I would say Aaron.
Aaron. Yeah, I think we're looking for somebody to fit the bill of somebody who's a threat that both tribes can sort of wrap their heads around. In terms of like Lyro versus Vokai,
what are the numbers now?
So in terms of original Lyro people, there are is it 6-6? I think it might be 6-6 now at this point.
Interesting.
Is there 6-6 or 7-7? I don't know.
Because they got what they wanted without having
podcast.
To throw it.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll get the numbers.
Well, maybe not Aaron, because he and Missy will be the first ones to try to go to the other side. So he might save himself. But oftentimes, I can see him trying to go to the other side and convince them that he's with them, and then him getting himself voted off.
Yeah. All right. So we'll work on the numbers and get back to you guys on that one. But I think it's just going to be like, as we're trying to figure out who it's going to be, somebody who both sides can agree on. It seems like that's been sort of the calling card is like, okay, it's an easy enough vote that everybody can agree on. Although your season was a little bit of an exception to that.
Yeah. We, comma just... they were just so dying to play Survivor and they hadn't gotten to yet.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that there might, but it's, I think it's also going to be like in a normal season, like if you're like, okay, well maybe both sides would say, hey, let's just punt on Dan. But it feels like that this group is saying like, oh, hold on. If he's somebody who's probably not with a good chance to win, let's keep him.
Yeah. I feel like a big threat's going to be the first one to go home at the merge. I feel like this, they're picking up right where we left off on our season, which just is like, as soon as a threat shows its head, just chop it off.
Well, like the chicken.
Like the chicken.
Okay.
R.I.P.
Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast and the Rehab Ups. You mentioned it, the Purple Pants Podcast, episode number 11 just dropped. Bryce is talking about, Bryce gets into a little Survivor talk this week, talks about everything that's going on. You're a Purple Pants Podcast listener, Rick?
Anything I can do to support Bryce Isaiah, I do.
The greatest guy. Yes.
My boy. Yes, sir.
All right. Check out what Bryce has going on in the Purple Pants Podcast in our Rehab Ups feed. Or go to robinswebsite.com/PPP to subscribe and rate what Bryce has going on. And then, of course, lots more coming up this week on the shows. I don't know if Scott is frozen right now. Rick, tell me about what. So what else are you up to these days?
Not a whole lot, Rob. Just finished up a soccer season with my five-year-old, co-coaching that. So we were excited to wrap that up. Went on my first Cub Scout trip with my five-year-old overnight.
Where did you go?
2 weeks ago. We went to Camp Benjamin Hawkins.
Yes.
Here in town. It was a big Cubbery. Lots of people went. Woke up
not
at 3:50 in the morning with Jack throwing up on me.
Oh,
yeah, it was a bummer. Got him back to sleep, cleaned up the tent, 20 minutes later, throw up again.
Oh, no.
But he was fine the next day. He had a great time, loves camping.
Yeah. So, Rick, that's rough.
It was a rough debut, but I'm glad it didn't turn him against the woods.
Okay. All right, boy.
Everything's been great down here.
Yeah, okay. That's a tough story, Rick. It's a bummer.
He had a good time, just too many s'mores with his buds.
Yeah, I understand, it happens. Rick, I know you're a newsman. You ever check out News AF?
Yeah, you know, I try to learn from you and Tyson and the crew.
And Danny, yeah.
About deliberately, absolutely.
Yeah, we talked about Kids Bop Karen this week. She's very angry, Kids Bop Karen.
Tell me, I don't know.
She got cut off by an Uber, and then she let the lady in the back seat have it.
Oh boy!
Yeah, let's check that out.
The lady in the back seat.
Yeah, there was an Uber, and then the woman was in the back seat, and then she started filming the woman that was like yelling at her.
Because she was the one holding the camera.
Yeah. On the latest Robin Akiva Nita podcast as well, Rick, that we went, Akiva and myself were presented with, 8 mysterious voices of masked, Renap, past guests. If you're a fan of the Masked Singer, or even if you're not, it was, people are calling it a masterpiece, the latest, Robin Akiva Nita podcast, with Shut Up Tim and Puya Zambakili.
Wow. You know, was it only people that were on Robin Akiva or all RHAP?
No, it
Did
was.
Did Devins get in there and break it down secretly?
So that, spoiler alert, no, Rick Devins was not on the episode. but we have plans to potentially expand the Masked Renapper franchise.
Watch out, Survivor. Another yeah. ratings warrior coming
Check
at
that
you.
Out. Sequester. Rick, do you have any idea what sequester is?
Sequester's like, I think I only know of it through you. It's like some weird game show.
Yeah, it's like a fan made. It's a fan made season. It's an original show that it looks great. It's up on YouTube, and Taryn and Brent are covering it. I watched the premiere the other night. Sequester 2019. That episode, a recap with Brent and Taryn, is up in our.
How's it work?
Feed. It's very complicated, Rick. We do not have that kind of time to explain how Sequester works.
I'll tune into the podcast.
It's very complicated. I watched the whole show, and I needed a podcast to explain to me what happened. Of course, we'll have the exit interview tomorrow morning. Talk to Jack about everything that's going on. Looking forward to that. Rick, an exit interview is when people get voted out of the game, and then they do a bunch of press the day after they get voted out.
Oh, weird. I didn't get to do that.
Yes, that's they do that this season.
Interesting.
It's a fun new thing. So
you should ask him about the emoji movie.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cass McEwen is going to be on the podcast. Very excited to catch up with Chaos Cass and see what she has to say about this season. That's always a fun one.
I love Chaos Cass.
Mary Holland is back in the RHAP B&B this week. Of course, she is a very funny podcaster. She's going to be back with Mike and Liana. I believe her second appearance on the B&B. Check that out with Mary Holland this weekend. And then Sierra Easton, she played with Sandra. She is a survivor that's been out on there, I believe, three times, and very much looking forward to talking with Sierra.
She tweeted mean things about me during my season.
She did? Why?
Out of nowhere. She'd never met me. She was just like, tweeted mean things, and Wendell had to defend me. And even when Wendell was like, no, I've met him, he's cool, she was like, eh.
why? I don't understand what she would, why?
I wasn't her cup of tea.
I think I can connect the dots.
You probably didn't know this.
Yeah.
But there were some viewers who I wasn't their cup of tea on my season.
Right. I can connect the dots that I think I have a theory. Okay. All right. And then why blank loss? Yeah. Find out, why did Jack lose? Seemed like he was doing good.
It did seem like he was doing well. If only he had been actually on our season instead of just, you know, a backup, maybe he would have gone all the way.
Yeah, maybe. So there you go. And of course, the Wiggle Room is coming this week. We'll get into the wand off. And then Kirsten McInnes is going to play this week in Survivor history. Although I'm hearing rumors of a pinch quizzer potentially coming in as Kirsten McInnes talks everything through with this week in Survivor.
Oh, are you calling him in as the manager? Are you going to be?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Of course, all of this is made possible by the power of our patron community. Head on over to robinswebsite.com/patron for access to our patron only podcast feed. The First Lady of Podcasting, myself, recorded the Patron 5 for 5. Had a rare afternoon podcast with the First Lady of Podcasting. And she was in rare form today, Rick, talking about all the things that she doesn't like and much more. She was really, really fired up here. Usually we get her at nighttime drinking wine, but today she was hopped up on coffee. Lots of great stuff on this week's Patron 5 for 5, all available at robinswebsite.com/patron. Okay.
Sounds like I can't miss.
Rick, who got the Ricky tonight?
Who got the Ricky? I was going to ask you how you feel about Carlos Beltran. I guess we'll save that.
Real quick, I would rather have had Joe Girardi, but I feel like that the nostalgia is enough to, you know, if it's between Carlos Beltran or default person I don't know anything about, I'll take Carlos Beltran.
There you go. Maybe he'll be just what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
The Ricky, I'm not sure if it's going to work out long term. There's a lot of questions. She might have given herself more problems than she gave herself solutions. But it was awesome the way she pulled it off tonight. I'm giving it to Kelly.
Yeah, I guess.
For the big blind side.
Yeah, carpe diem. It was a great move tonight. Yeah. Is it going to work out tomorrow? I'm telling you, Steven would
hate. Other fill-ins problem.
Steven would hate this move so much. Steven would be like, anytime anybody like makes like a big flashy move, a spectacle, he hates that. So I guarantee you, if he tweets about the episode, he's gonna say the real thumbs down about this episode.
I'll see what he writes in his blog.
I like the ambition here for Kelly, but what I don't like is that she has to rely on Dean to keep her secret. You know, if this was late in the game, if this was, say, the final seven and not the headed into the merge, I'd like this a lot more. I feel like that now we're in like Natalie Anderson territory of like really OK. Although what Jamal did was closer to the Natalie Anderson to play his idol on Nora. But that's great to me of, you know, really trying to pull something off. I think it was too early for this move.
I agree. And I'm not even so worried about her trusting Dean, who she has this like weird connection with. But Nora is way more involved in that lie than I would ever want her to
be.
If I am Kelly, like, Nora's going to at least drop the breadcrumbs that lead everyone back to Kelly.
For this to work for Kelly, she's got to get Dean voted out next.
Yeah.
And then, like, whatever Nora is, like, talking about, it's like, she's crazy. Whoa, Nora's crazy. What do you listen to her for?
They read two votes for Jack, right?
Yes.
So people automatically are going to be, who was the second vote for Jack? And it'll be Nora. And then they'll say, Nora, why'd you do that? And Kelly, I can't.
And Jamal,
Kelly would have to be real subtle for her name not to come up.
Jamal, who we talked about, like was like an attorney asking Jeff Probst to ask the questions to Nora. I think that Dean is not going to hold up under cross-examination when he's like, Dean, why did you vote for Jack? He was our friend. And we talked about going after Nora. Why did you vote for Jack? Dean's going to be like, got a little something, something. he has no good answers, Dean. He has no poker face.
No. Wasn't he the one who screamed out, like, we'll split the vote?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, that's not who I would want keeping my secret.
So, I don't know. I don't think it's.
But she gets it for tonight because. That was a lot of fun.
That was. You know what else was a lot of fun, Rick? Having you here on the Know-It-Alls.
It was a lot of fun being here, Rob.
Yes. You know, one other thing. I know that you are no stranger to great confessional, but I thought that Kelly had a real great one tonight where she was sitting there and she was talking it through and she's like, hold on. I'm having a moment of inspiration. The muse has come down upon me with one of these survivor ideas. That was amazing.
No, I loved it so much. I think I saw, I think it was Shannon Gates, your podcaster,
yes,
who was like, I love watching the wheels turn in Kelly's head. Like, she's such a cerebral player, I think is what Shannon said. And it's so true. Just seeing her come up with that in the moment and realizing, oh, I don't have to play the idol. I could give the idol. I do just wonder, playing the Stephen Fishbank in the moment, if she had been better off having never won that idol and not having the temptation and feeling like she had to play it.
Yeah.
I feel like she probably long-term is in a lot better shape.
Yeah. Rick, I guess there's a question for you, that does having these idols to the man with a hammer, does everything in the world look like a nail?
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as you get the idol in your hand, you're looking every time you go to tribal, you think, how could I use this to better my position?
Yeah.
And it's such a thought process that eventually you're going to latch on to something.
And also, but it's such a different thought process than the other way to go of the social game, you know, of like, I got to work with this person. I got to work with this person. I got to work with this person. Now it's like, how do I use my idol? You know, it's a different exercise.
Exactly. It totally changes everything in your head because you feel like, what's the one thing I have that other people don't? I have to use it to my, I'd be stupid not to use it to my advantage.
Yeah.
When maybe you wouldn't, maybe you should think about things differently.
Yeah. So yeah, they said, don't sleep on 39. This has been a couple of really wild episodes in a row here.
Yeah. I have gotten to tribal almost every episode this season and had no idea who was going home.
Yeah. Oh, so I was stunned tonight. I really was like,
I was so sure Jamal was going home twice tonight. Yeah. Absolutely. I cannot believe Jack went home.
Yeah. So, wild night. All right. Rick Devins, how do people keep up with what you're up to?
I'm at Rick Devins.
Yeah.
At Rick_Devins on both Instagram and Twitter, because I figure that makes me like pretty hard to make fun of by Rob Sesternino.
But, well, I mean, you do have an underscore in your name, so we're not,
I had to,
we're not firing on all cylinders. Is there another Rick Devins without an underscore?
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't choose to have the underscore.
Yeah.
Just for the heck of it.
Yeah. Rick, I don't want to end the podcast yet because I feel like I don't know when I'm going to talk to you again.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Walking Dead.
No,
I have not been watching either.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up. All right.
I'll be one of the many to add to the chorus of come to Atlanta when you get the chance.
Yeah, well, I want to. I really do want to. And so that we're working on it. That's all I can say at this point.
Outstanding.
Okay. All right. Rick Devins, thank you so much. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Be on the lookout for our exit interview and then our interview with Cass coming up on Thursday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Survivor, no way to
Hi, I'm David Bloomberg.
And I'm Liana Boris.
And we're the respective hosts of the Survivor podcasts, Why Blank Loss,
and the RHAP B&B, here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups.
Former Survivor player Jessica Lewis and I break down what the latest person voted out did compared to my rules for winning the game. You may remember Jessica from Millennials vs. Gen X, where she got eliminated in a rock draw that was a little tense.
PSA.
And I've been covering Survivor for so long that even Rob Sesternino took a copy of the rules with him to study before his season.
Over at the B&B, Survivor journalist Mike Bloom and I get into some Survivor fun and games. Each week, a special guest checks in to break down island fashion or answer important questions like, can a baby win Survivor? Make sure you don't miss out on an episode of either one of our podcasts by subscribing to the RHAP Survivor Only podcast feed or the Reality TV Wrap-Ups podcast feed. David, is it in your rules for people to listen to our podcast?
It is now.